Also, it allowed him to keep up with his favorite soap operas. David Sedaris has kept a diary for about 30 years, makes one for every season, and each one has a cover. He said it's a lot of work for something no one's ever going to see. His most recent book came out just this past year, When You Are Engulfed in Flames. Here's a poem for today by Marge Piercy, entitled The World in the Year 2000. It will be covered to a depth of 7 inches by the little white plastic chips, at once soft and repellent to the touch, and with the ability to bounce like baby beach balls under the table and under the radiator. They come in boxes with toasters, with vitamin pills, with whatever you order as packing material. They will conquer the world. They are doing it already, beginning with my kitchen. A poem by Marge Piercy, The World in the Year 2000, from her collection Stone, Paper, Knife, published by Alfred A. Knopf and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation. You can visit them online anytime at poetryfoundation.org. Produced by Betsy Alistair, engineered by Leszek Wojcik. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Give him love, said Mama Cece with a warm smile. That is the most important gift of all.
Greetings, I'm Madafo. Join me for Stories from a Neighborhood, a celebration of Kwanzaa on a season's griot from PRI, Public Radio International.
Saturday evening at 6.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Radio Maria Restaurant in downtown Champaign, now available for holiday parties and now taking reservations for New Year's Eve dinner featuring their special tasting or dinner menu. New Year's Eve late night will feature salsa dancing with their DJ. Details are available at 398-7729.
staring eyes and swiveling necks on this moment of science. Ask any grade schooler to imitate an owl, and you'll probably get one of two responses: the giant staring eyes, or that amazingly swivel-prone neck. As it turns out, these two characteristic features are related. They are part of an overall system owls have for catching prey. To understand the connection, remember that owls are nocturnal birds. They hunt for food at twilight and even in the dark. Food for an owl may be something as large as a rabbit or as small and hard to see as a field mouse. Not only is this kind of meal difficult to spot, it also has a tendency to bolt away quickly at the slightest sound. The owl overcomes these difficulties by having evolved a visual system that works even at great distances and in low light. This is partly the result of having large eyes that are set on a relatively flat face, thus increasing binocular vision. However, those big eyes don't move much in their sockets, and the owl's total visual field is therefore reduced. At any given time, it only sees about one-third as much as birds with eyes on either side of their heads. That means the only thing to do is to be able to turn those staring eyes in any direction without the noise that would be caused by actually getting up and moving. And now you can see how the staring eyes and swiveling neck work together. The owl's super flexible spine allows it to remain silent while it scans 180 degrees on either side. Yes, indeed, from a forward-facing position, an owl can look entirely backwards. This moment of science comes from Indiana University with production support from the Brabson Foundation. Today's program was prepared by William Oram with help from Rod Southers in biology. I'm Don Glass.
I'm Fred Child. Saturday on the Best of Public Radio 2008, poet and civil rights activist Maya Angelou.
When I pulled my clothes off, I looked like a brown cucumber. I thought, well, maybe if I have sex, that will release my body. Well, it did.
Join me and Peter Sagal for the Best of Public Radio 2008 and your chance to make great radio in 2009.
Saturday from 9 to noon and again from 1 to 4.
Here's something of interest from the University of Illinois.
Serving cranberries with holiday meals is a long-standing tradition, possibly dating back to 1621 in this country, and they're good for you. University of Illinois Extension horticulture educator Jennifer Fishburne says that cranberries are a low-calorie, fiber-rich fruit packed with nutrients like antioxidants and vitamin C. They're also low in saturated fats, sodium, and cholesterol. The North American cranberry is a native plant to the United States. Early settlers called the fruit craneberry because the pink flower blossom and the small stem resembled the head, beak, and neck of a crane. Eventually, the word was shortened to cranberry. To produce a crop of fruit from a new plant takes about 4 years. Most beds are wet harvested by flooding the fields, while approximately 5 to 10% are dry harvested. In December, dormant vines are flooded with water that freezes into a solid covering of ice. In spring, the water is pumped out of the bogs. Fishburne says they're usually only available fresh in supermarkets from September to December, so stock up now. And that's something of interest from the University of Illinois.
Something of Interest is a public service of the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences at the University of Illinois.
Sunday afternoon at 5, join us for Keepin' the Faith. Each week, host Steve Shoemaker and his guests explore issues of faith, spirituality, religion, and ethics. This week's topic is Evangelical versus Liberal, Religion and Politics, and Steve's guest is Professor James Wellman. This is a program from our archives, so no phone calls will be taken. That's Keepin' the Faith, Sunday afternoon at 5.
WILL programming is made possible by Strawberry Fields Natural Food Store, featuring locally grown and organic produce, freshly baked breads, a coffee bar, and bulk foods department. Strawberry Fields also offers natural vitamins, health and beauty products, household cleaning products, pet foods, and an in-store nutritionist to answer questions about healthy eating.
and sky.
You know, astronomy is not just numbers and facts and figures. It's beautiful.
You're listening to Barbara Whitney of the Space Science Institute in Boulder, Colorado.
And I think this poster that we've created is a combination of art and